We read the Holy Scriptures this morning in connection with the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We read Psalm 84. A psalm for the sons of Korah. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thy altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Two other passages this morning to read, or verses. And the first is Hebrews chapter 4. Which is becoming familiar, very familiar to us in our family visits. So if you've had family visiting, probably Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 have been read. Note the apparent contrast between the word labor and rest. Labor, work, to enter rest. So it's spiritual labor. Let us labor, Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He's referring to Psalm 95 in Old Testament Israel. For the word of God is quick, or living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And one other passage, and the significance of this passage will become apparent this morning in the sermon, also in connection with the Sabbath, Galatians 6, verse 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word, so that would be a reference to a pastor, he has been taught. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now we take our catechism in the back of the Psalter, page 22, the explanation of the fourth commandment. This is question 103. And this morning I would ask that the congregation recite in unison with me the answer. I will ask the question and then we will together give the answer. Lord's Day 38, page 22, question 103 of the Heidelberg Catechism. What does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who would criticize us for our Sabbath observance and accuse us of legalism and of making endless do's and don'ts for the Lord's Day and of turning us into mere Sunday Christians, hypocritical, who argue about whether a bike can be ridden on Sunday or how much we can sweat on Sunday, those who bring that accusation are going to find a very hard time proving that from this Reformed creed, the Heidelberg Catechism. The Heidelberg Catechism is nothing but positive. It's all spiritual. It's all of the heart. It's all about filling a day to honor Jesus Christ in the fellowship of his people in the church. It's all about eagerly heeding his call on this day to come apart for a little while and rest with me. Those who feel a need to justify their practices on the Lord's Day, those who believe that the fourth commandment is simply a ceremonial commandment, that is, like the other ceremonies of the Old Testament that have passed away, and that Sunday is as any other day, and those who especially chide under the call to go to church twice and believe that once is certainly enough, they too will find this Lord's Day to be very uncomfortable for them. We just read together, diligently frequent the house of God on the Lord's Day. Frequent. Hear his word. Use the sacraments. Publicly call on the name of God. Contribute to the relief of the poor. And then, out of that, every day of my life, to live with that hope, that rest of Christ, until at last I attain it in heaven. This is the conduct as becomes a, what did we say? As becomes a legalist? No. As becomes a Christian. Our catechism does not look on Sunday with, do I have to? How much? But the catechism looks on this day for the church as the day I get to. And I can give myself to the Lord with all my heart. It's a day for the new man in Jesus Christ. It's a day for a spiritual pilgrim that he gets a little whiff of heaven in his nostrils. It's a day of feast, not of the earthly things, but of the spiritual things of Jesus Christ for the soul. It's the day that we get to hear the glad tidings of the gospel. There is a rest for the people of God. Jesus Christ has attained my rest. This is the day that we can devote to our family the times that we haven't had through a busy week. Now we have that time. God said, you have that time. The commandment is addressed to fathers. It talks of sons and daughters and those who are working for you. This is the day that you can get them together and be with them in the things of the Lord, that you can labor to enter into his rest, so that now in the next 6 days we may cease from evil works and yield ourselves to the Lord to work in me by the Holy Spirit. The Catechism is so positive on the fourth commandment because the fourth commandment is positive. The fourth and fifth commandments are the two commandments of the ten that are stated positively. They are not stated, thou shalt not. They are stated, remember, honor, that is, thou surely shall do this. Keep the day holy. The Sabbath day is not simply, God requires me to take the day off, don't go into work, get some R&R, and in that way I have kept the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath commandment is positive. Yes, cease from your work so that you can enter into, you can give yourself, you can devote yourself to something grand and glorious and active, communion with God in the new covenant that you minimize now. Minimize today, the earthly. Do only what is necessary and in mercy. And maximize the spiritual today. That's the commandment. There is a negative, of course, in the commandment. In it, in this day, thou shalt do no manner of labor. Absolutely. Yes. And the scriptures explain that negative as well. For instance, Isaiah 58, verse 13, keep thy foot, really from trampling is the idea, on my Sabbath, from doing thy own pleasure on my holy day, but call this day a delight. So there are things not to do on the Sabbath, according to the Word of God. But the emphasis is so that you can do this. You can enter a rest of the heart that Jesus has purchased for you. Sometimes all that we talk about in the fourth commandment is, what can't I do? And sometimes the reason for that is that therefore if I don't do that, I keep the Lord's day and God is pleased with me. But that's not keeping the fourth commandment. We must never forget the Lord's words in Matthew chapter 23 about the weightier matters of the law, when the Lord spoke of the meticulousness of the Pharisees to observe the tiniest detail of the law. And it said one-tenth, and so they would take their little spices of cumin and myrrh. If they'd cough, they'd lose it all, but they'd measure out one-tenth. But Jesus said, you forget the weightier matters of love and justice and mercy. We must not in the fourth commandment Sunday forget the weighty matters of the law. It's not just what I don't do, it's what we do. You don't say to your wife, do you? Well, honey, I love you, so tell me the things you don't want me to do, so that I don't upset you and I will be a good husband. Don't you say, honey, what do you like? What can I do to show you that I love you? Is our hearts positive by grace toward this day? There's the cure. There's the cure, there's the answer to every Sabbath question. Is the Sabbath a delight, a holy day, filling this day with the delightful things of Jesus Christ and of His people and of His Word, of His church and of our families? God says, today, lay down. You may lay down that earthly calling. You may set aside that worry, that burden, that duty. I say to you, you may do that so that you may enter into a covenant of love with me. That's God's command for for Sabbath rest. God's command for Sabbath rest. The Heidelberg Catechism begins its explanation of the fourth commandment with a very seemingly strange statement. It says the first thing in the fourth commandment is, we read it, first, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. And we heard the fourth commandment this morning, and we ask now, where was that? Where was that? That seems like a jump of logic. What would you have said is the first thing in the fourth commandment? Would you have said that? But it's right here that we see the deep and the correct understanding of our fathers as they have searched Holy Scripture, and they have come to understand the fourth commandment that it is taught by the Word of God. It makes complete sense. That statement makes sense when you remember the positive calling of God in the commandment is to enter into His rest. The word Sabbath is day of rest. That's what it means. And the Sabbath is not primarily there a physical rest. As I explained, the physical is there so that you can enter into a spiritual rest. And that spiritual rest is the finished work of salvation in Jesus Christ. That is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested because His work was done and He enjoyed it. So on the Sabbath, the first day, the work of Jesus Christ is finished and we enter into it. And the primary way of entering into that rest is the gospel of grace being preached unto our hearts and souls. And so we begin to understand a little bit. The Catechism went on to say that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear His Word. It's a holy day then. It's a day. Holy means set apart. Set apart for what? Spiritual rest. For the celebration, for the drinking into our hearts of what it means that the work of our Savior is completed. We enter into the rest of worship. We are free on this day to worship publicly with the people of God, Jehovah our God. It is a day in which we can more enter into the things of our God without being distracted by our regular duties in this world. And this is exactly what the New Testament church, this is exactly the practice of the New Testament church on the first day of the week, Sunday, the resurrection day. We won't go into those details, but on that day, the New Testament church met for worship to hear the gospel of the risen Lord, the gospel which said that you have entered into the rest of God not by your works, stop working, not by the works of the law. You have not entered into God's grace by anything you have done, but you have entered into the rest of God through what He has done for you. It's a rest that is conferred upon you. And we need that rest, because we are so often spiritually with unrest. It is the burden of my sins. Where do I bring that? It is my own unworthiness in my conscience. It is heavy trial that God is pleased to send. There are circumstances that are overwhelming. The Lord leads us, each one, in a way of trial. Professor Gritters so wonderfully explained for us last Sunday night, Psalm 42, the burdened and the depressed heart crying out to his God, asking for hope. In that Psalm 42, and perhaps he mentioned that and I forgot, but adding to that depression in that psalm is that the psalmist could not go to God's house. He says in the fourth verse, I had gone with them that kept the holy day. But then he goes on in the next verse to say, I'm in the land of Mizar. That was a long way from the temple of God. That contributed. He couldn't go to church. And it contributed to his angst, to his depression. And so on this day, we enter into the reality of Psalm 84. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them uprightly. The psalmist is speaking of the experience of the Sabbath in the house of God as we read that psalm. It's the day in which the sun, S-O-N, warms our souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Kindergartners, Miss Halsteg was teaching you last week about those words that are sound the same but spell different, S-U-N, S-O-N. So the psalmist says, the Lord is a S-U-N, a sun. Not just on the creation, the beautiful sun today, warming the soil already. The daffodils come up because God's warming them. But today, God is a S-U-N through his S-O-N, his Son. The gospel. Psalm 84 spoke of a pilgrim passing through the valley of Baca. That was a dry desert. They would have to pass through that on their way to the temple. And the psalmist says God, as they journeyed to the temple, would fill that valley of Baca. There would be depressions. And he'd fill it with water from rain. And there were also springs in that valley, so that they could journey on and on. God in his marvelous providence put those pools about a day's journey, about as far as they could go. And then the family was going to need water. And God would provide that pool of water. And so the psalmist says, as he's on the way to Zion, my soul longeth, yea, faints for the courts of God. And then he says, but God has provided these pools of water where I may drink. And that's what Sunday is. Sunday is the pool of water. You can go about 6 days. But then you need to rest. And you need to drink in something sweet and refreshing. And that's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Found in the courts of the Lord's house. In the church on the Sabbath, there are these pools, these springs of spiritual water for the spiritually thirsty, for those who are living their life to serve God in this world and resisting their sin and going through trials. There is a place for you to come aside if this day is frequenting the church of God under the gospel of grace, whereby God becomes a sun and a shield to our heart. Now, are we following the logic of our catechism? First, fourth commandment, first, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. You follow the logic to experience the rest of the Sabbath. We must hear the word of the risen Christ who said, I will give you rest. I will. But if we are to hear the word of Christ, we must have preaching and preachers and pastors who proclaim that rest to our souls. And if we are to have preachers and pastors, we must have schools, seminaries, where they are trained and taught. We are not just flesh and bones. We are not just nerves and stomach. We are souls. We have been created anew in Jesus Christ with the life of Christ within our hearts. We need to gather as God has ordained, as His church, under His word, that we might rest. So the ministry of the gospel is a reference to preachers of the gospel of grace, of the truth. The schools are especially seminaries where ministers are trained. To maintain them is financial, prayerful, heart work. It's what we call the general fund. And I don't know if we did that by intention. I'm going to trust we did it by intention. But the general fund is always the first collection on a Sunday. That fits in. First, that the ministry of the gospel in schools be maintained. And that's the general fund of the church. Four things briefly on that. It means, first of all, we need to pray as we desire Sabbath rest for pastors, that is, for young men to be ministers of the gospel of grace. This prayer is not just a mechanical prayer. None of our prayers for our young adults who are seeking occupations are mechanical. We want them to be led of the Lord. But this prayer for pastors arises, you see, out of a very deep source. We want the Word. We want the true Word of God. In the book of Amos, we read that a people who were forgetting the Sabbath day were also experiencing a famine of hearing the Word of God. There's a famine. There's a famine of hearing the Word of God. And so our hearts are crying to Thee, O God. We're crying for young men. There's other reasons we cry for these pastors. But we pray, prepare them. Prepare them even with from the bosom of the church. As David Norman was prepared in the bosom of the church and was ordained this week. Prepare boys and young men and older men for the ministry. Does God call you as a young man? Is He calling you? Do you pray about that? Mothers, talk to your, discreetly, talk to your sons about the ministry for the Word of God. And then also, how thankful we are for the work in India. That there are four men in that congregation being trained, possibly, for the ministry of God's Word. And there are six other area pastors who are becoming more and more convicted of the reformed biblical faith. Pray. We should learn the names of these 10 people. We ought to pray for them. Secondly, we want pastors then to be trained. And that's the reference especially to the schools. Those are seminaries, especially there. I said we want men to be trained, not exclusively. There are converts who come into the ministry of the Word of God, but we're also speaking of men who come out of the bosom of the church, and so are Christian schools, parental Christian schools, organized by us in love and zeal for our children. Those schools, too, are so important for teaching our children. And I thank God that my parents sent me to that parental school in South Holland. But they're especially here seminaries. And that's why we read Galatians 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. Ministers, teaching ministers. We must maintain that, and we must then pray for our seminary. And then the word maintain is, as I explained, number three, financial, which is the purpose for the general fund. And then number four, this means that we must pray for our existing pastors and ministers. In every epistle that the apostle writes, he includes the words, pray for us, pray for us, pray for faithfulness, pray for insight into the Word of God, pray that the Holy Spirit may open to me the Holy Scriptures, pray for peace in the congregation. The Apostle Paul says, pray for us that the Word of God may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. Pray that there not be needless dissension, but that the Word of God then may be heard. This includes the work of the elder to oversee the preaching, the pulpit. That's the calling of an elder. Seminary students to oversee that and to encourage the pastor in his work. There are many wearinesses and trials in the work of the ministry. And church history tells us that some of the most exemplary ministers have suffered from depression. Charles Spurgeon, Martin Luther. But then we need only to read the Bible, Elijah and David. Ministers are men of like passions as you pray for them. So how can God's people enter into rest on the Sabbath day through the preaching of the gospel of grace, unless the ministry of the gospel and the schools are first maintained? That's the logic of our catechism. But that leads us then to the call of the second of the fourth commandment, enter into that rest. Come into that rest. Actively use this day as a day of spiritual rest. How foolish it would be for us to maintain the ministry through the general fund and not enter into the rest of the Lord's day. How foolish it would be for us to sleep in church. How foolish it would be for us to say in a sermon, well, I don't like that word of God, so tuning out that part of God's word. How foolish it would be for us not to pray that we're not distracted at the hour of worship from all of our worries, our even obsessive worries, that we don't become like a Martha now, right now, in the house of God. It takes work to hear, to listen, right now, and how easy it is for the mind to wander from us, and how easy it is for us to take up, like Martha, all the duties that were necessary, even while Jesus was in her house and preaching the gospel, and Martha was just listening to him. We have to pray. How foolish it would be for us to give our things not to the things of Jesus Christ, but entertainment, recreation, sports, or whatever else it might be. We may drink today from the wells of salvation, Isaiah chapter 12, and we need it. God is not burdening you and me with this commandment. He's not giving you a big burden to carry today. Go to church. This is not a burden. This is the Lord who has purchased you, who is also the Lord of your time, every hour of every day. And it is the Lord who has purchased you, saying, I have set aside a day for your soul. The whole day. The whole day. Seems to me that the modern church, the present church, has a hard time with understanding the word day. When it comes to Genesis and creation, well, each one of those little days are billions of years. Long time. When it comes to the fourth commandment, to much of the church today, the word day is somewhere between 10 o'clock in the morning and 12, hopefully less than that. It's about 90 minutes, if much. That's the day. And then after that, the Sabbath day is my day. Hard time understanding what the word day means. It's a day. It's when you got up and when you go to bed tonight. All day. Don't you want to enter His rest? Don't you say with me, if there were no fourth commandment, we would ask God for one. Or if the commandment had said, remember the Sabbath morning for a few hours to keep them holy. If the commandment had said that, would we not get on our knees and ask Him for a whole day? I remember as a boy and teenager working for a farmer on 4th of July. Came to 4th of July. We worked from 7 till 6 or 7 at night, normally. And he said, you know, it's 4th of July. We're going to quit at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I was thinking, I want the whole day. I'm going to be so tired at 3 o'clock. And then when he saw that on my face, he said, well, you know, maybe we'll work till 6 or 7. But don't worry, there'll be time for you to see the fireworks. You'll get to see that. And that just made me more angry. I want the day off. Don't you want the whole day of God as a gift? Do you want a Sabbath hour or a Sabbath day? Do you prefer ESPN, Doritos, and pop on the sofa watching television to this day? Is there something you would prefer? Barbecue at the beach on a Sunday afternoon instead of nursing home? Singing at a nursing home? I'd like to also make a reference this morning to the fact that on the Sabbath day we do have hours now to read. And to read that good literature which will bring our thoughts into line with God's thoughts. The RFPA sent to our congregation a survey, told us there's 30% of this congregation that gets the standard bearer and other issues that they give in other books. Beloved, reading the things of God, being update in the life of the church, reading articles that make your mind think. and then diligently frequent the house of God. And that's twice on the Lord's Day. And that too has become a sore spot for many brethren in the Reformed Church world. Frequently, that means I'm there. You don't need to ask if I'm a member. Yeah, got kids. Someone has to stay home with them sometimes. There's sick kids. There's weekends that we're away for vacation occasionally. But I'm there. When the body of Jesus Christ, to which I belong, my sisters, this body that God has made by His grace, I'm a part of that body. I'm there. I want to be there. I want to be there. We have two services as, so to speak, bookends of the Lord's Day, as the Scriptures speak so often. Why two? Well, the Scriptures speak so often in the morning light in reference to the Sabbath day. My prayer shall lift to Thee, and in the evening sacrifice, that time of evening reflection, we gather with the people of God. We go to church. When we go to church, children, we're talking about this building. God gave us this building, but this building is not the church. Those bricks are dead bricks. The pew and the felt is dead. The church. What is the church? 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. Ye living stones are built up a spiritual priesthood upon the cornerstone, built up a church upon the cornerstone of Christ Jesus. Each one of us is a spiritual living stone. And into temple comes God, especially on the Sabbath day. And in that church, His rest is given, and His songs and His praises are sung. How dear to me, O Lord, is the place where Thou dost dwell, in holy beauty, pleasantness, and so on. So the Catechism says we must gather to hear His Word. Here's what the Catechism would say our activities for the day of rest. Hear His Word. It must be His Word. Imagine coming to the Valley of Baca, in the Valley of Baca, and coming to a pool and it's got arsenic in it. Or the camels have been there before you and have defecated into that pool. Imagine coming there and having to drink that. We need 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Let our churches then be full, not of arrangements and music to attract people, but let us be full of the life-giving gospel of our precious Savior, which is a food for the soul, a water of grace, a fountain, a bread of life, a pearl of great price. It must be the Word of Christ, not the Word of man. And we must hear that Word of Christ. Secondly, we must, the Catechism says, use the sacraments, not observe them, but use them. Use them. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Use them. Because there's rest. Use them as a young person. Because in those sacraments is the rest of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven you. Not on the power of those sacraments, but because Christ has ordained them to be a sign and seal of His own Word. And He wants you to use them. Come, he says, come. We gather, number three, publicly to call on the name of the Lord. That's congregational prayer. That's not the time to doze off. That's not a time, again, to let your mind go where it wants to. That's a moment of reverence. The congregational prayer, all of our worship, we want to have a reverence. We want to have reverence in our singing. But in our prayer, that's a time of reverence. And the minister leads. That's a very difficult thing. But we all pray together, and the Holy Spirit knows that. And you're praying. When I sit in the pew and the other ministers are praying, I listen, and I'm always praying, Lord, help him. Help him, Lord. Help him. Give him the words, Lord. Give him the words. And then all the turmoil, all the hearts, all the hurts, all the sins, all the burdens, all the joy, all the praise gets all bundled together in the congregational. The body of Christ needs to get together to pray. And included in that is the singing. And how our singing, how a visitor ought to be able to see us in our singing from the heart with the words, with the attitude, with the posture, with the gifts that God gave of the voice in the notes and all the rest, singing plaintively, joyfully, expectantly. And then finally, contribute to the relief of the poor. Collections. The scriptures teach that collections are gathered by the church on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. The needs, not only of the benevolent for the kingdom, but for the kingdom of God as well. Secondly, says the Catechism, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me and thus begin the eternal Sabbath. It's the beginning of eternal rest. The Catechism, the Word of God, also connects Sunday to the next 6 days. Sabbath day refreshes you to serve God the next 6 days. So that in the next 6 days, we more and more cease from our evil works and yield ourselves to serve God, expecting the eternal rest. The Sabbath day, without the Sabbath day, our spiritual life, without observing it in God's house, our spiritual life will drain from us. The devil has a plan. Ever since that morning that Jesus Christ arose from the dead, he has had a plan. And his plan is simple. He's shrewd. And so good plans are simple. His plan is simply this: erase Sabbath observance from Christianity. Erase it. And you will soon find the littered bodies of Christians, just like the littered bodies of desert travelers who died because there was no water. And they were drinking sand. That's his plan. God has a plan for the Sabbath day. It goes like this: put in my people's heart the taste of rest. Give them a foretaste of something that is unimaginable. perfect peace. Joy. No more sin. No more sorrow. No more sighing. Give them a little taste of that. And they will go for 6 days, journeying to Zion. We used to have church bells, and I heard that when we built this building, we were thinking and desirous of having a church bell. Church bells. In the old South Holland church, when I was a boy, they had a church bell in that wooden church that would sound. And my dad, sitting next to my dad in church, when that bell would sound, he'd say to us, "Son, that bell is calling us to eternal rest." Psalm 84, verse 5, puts it this way, "Blessed is the man who is on the highway to Zion, who is traveling to Zion and comes to God's house." In today's terms, blessed are the people who, with their families or singly, with their spouses, are on 48th Street, traveling in the morning and in the evening to church. Blessed are those people. They will still be praising Thee. Amen. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy word. We thank Thee for Thy ordinances, commandments, and provisions. For in Jesus Christ they are sweet and wise. Especially this fourth commandment, in which Thou dost show the tender love of a father, desirous to have his children in his house, where Thou wilt bless us with every good thing from heaven in our Lord Jesus Christ. Though the world should threaten to undo, though our flesh does not go along with this, nevertheless, preserve this congregation, preserve us and our children, that we may be Sabbath keepers. In Jesus' name. Amen.